Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
RevPro presented High Stakes over the weekend, the main event of which saw Michael Oku defeat Will Ospreay and retain the undisputed British heavyweight championship. It is a match that the internet has been talking about, the world has been talking about, Dave Meltzer has been talking about. I'm here with one half of that incredible showing at Crystal Palace, Michael Oku, the British heavyweight champion. Michael, how you doing?
I'm back. I'm on the pod again. I'm doing great. Well, actually, that's a lie. That was a very British "I'm doing great." I have been so unwell. I've got I remember, just as I say that, I remember our last interview. I was like, just a second, I'm popping off to the shop to get a drink.
You did. You had to go and get energy drinks because you were unwell then.
Yeah. So
you're allergic to talking to me, Michael. Is that what this is?
I think that might be it. But like, and so I think from North Wrestling, I caught like something, maybe a cold. It was freezing because it's Newcastle. Mm-hmm. And then I just was feeling kind of unwell all week. And so the morning of waking up of the show of High Stakes on Sunday, I was like, oh gosh, I don't feel good.
So, I mean, to give people a little insight into North Wrestling, so Michael Oku makes the trip up to Newcastle as often as he can, and it's always a pleasure. But Michael, you have wrestled at Anarchy Brewery, which is the home base of North Wrestling, all year round, and you can attest to, I was with you in the brewery in July when it was hotter than the sun.
Yes.
Horrible. You and me and Jordan had a great match, but I could tell you two were struggling in the heat.
Glistening with sweat. It was, oh my God, it's tough. But when it's hot, it's hot. When it's cold, it's cold in Newcastle.
So cold. And that adds a whole new element to what we saw at High Stakes, the fact that you went into this match unwell.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that I was like, I'm already nervous. There's so much pressure on me, put on me by so many people, including myself, that if I was 100%, I'd be still like worried about performing to the best of my ability. But then I'm like, oh God, I've got something in my chest and I've got to go out there. And oh, what's that? Okay, Tony Khan's. Okay, that's cool. Yeah. Sure, no problem. So yeah, I'm a lot of pressure, but here we are.
Does it change any of your sort of pre-match game when you're a bit under the weather like that? Do you mix it up a little bit to give yourself a chance to fight it off?
So what is the one thing that I said to myself was like, I was like, just make sure to take your time, take more time than you normally do so that you can be ready for, you know, what's next, or like just have the right pacing for when you need to like explode and be explosive. That's the thing I do anyways, and like try my best to try and pace things and bring things slowly, nearly to a halt. But when you got an illness, I felt like I was needing to go even slower. But then it's one of those things where, like, when I'm in the moment and you're hearing the crowd react, you're like, oh, this is the pacing it should be anyway. So I should be trying to show enough self-restraint where I'm able to pace myself and be that slow when I'm not ill. But that's kind of one of the things I just constantly thinking before I went out. Just take time, make sure that you've got time to literally breathe, because your lungs are full of something. But I don't know what it is.
Let's talk about the build to this one, because we saw your better half Amira very much get front and center in the story that you and Will have told. And it's funny how there are some people that are now learning what many of us already know, that Amira is genuinely a force of nature in wrestling, isn't she?
An incredible thing. She was such an integral part of the second match, the critically acclaimed one from 2 years ago. That added element brought in so much more story, so much more emotion into the match that me and Will were having, that it only made sense that, okay, well, we're coming back to it. What needs to be an element in the last match? And so she had to be part of it. And she is incredible at what she does. I think she's also discovering how incredible she is at what she does, in terms of like being a manager, being a valet, whatever you want to call it. There are different ways to go about it, but the fact that like she's willing to be physical, she will take things the biggest bumps in a match, and she's there to actually like cheer on, like help kind of cheerlead for me and get the crowd into it. And then she's also a great promo. You know, she's able to talk and do everything for me. It's not like, I say do everything for me, it's not even like I'm a horrible talker, but then you have that added element of her being able to speak well and add a different perspective as to why the match has more emotion, arguably, than last time. I think she was just so integral. I say this, there's three people. Like, that's what made the match. It was a triple threat, essentially, not just a singles match. The three of us made that match really special.
I think it's a testament as well to her work, in the sense that a manager role like that, the way that she plays it, so traditionally a heel position to be in. You look at, you know, Paul Heyman in the corner of Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. You look at Bobby Heenan in the corner of the Heenan family back in the day, and Sensational Sherry in the corner of Shawn Michaels. So typically heel roles, but whilst she doesn't change any of the beats, you're very much behind her.
That's been the hardest road. That's been the hardest thing to navigate for the both of us together as the act, is specifically that. Like, who do we research? There's in everything in wrestling, there's a template before that you can research multiple versions of it. But for managing, when you think of managers, you think, okay, that's a heel thing that a wrestler has. It automatically makes it, if the other wrestler doesn't have a manager, it's automatically a 2-on-1 situation. So you could argue that, like, you know, that's already a heelish thing in and of itself. But we've tried to see where we can actually still, again, like you said, use elements that those managers would do. But if we have it justified, if we make sure that it's justified, then it can fit for a babyface act. The closest thing that we can look to in terms of a babyface act is Macho Man Elizabeth. But Elizabeth didn't really do that much. You know, she wore the dresses, so that's really where the comparison begins and ends, is how she dressed. But and maybe there are a few moments, obviously, with like getting hit and, you know, Hogan and Macho Man doing their thing. Like, she was involved in story beats, but I really think like Amira does so much more in terms of like incorporating things that those heel managers that talk do, such as a Paul Heyman or a Bobby Heenan, and then incorporates like the kind of like damsel in distress until she's not. That's kind of what the idea is. Like, she's a damsel in distress like Elizabeth until she's not, and she's able to like give some lip, like she gives some mouth, oh, big gobby, Irish temper.
I couldn't see Miss Elizabeth flipping off Ted DiBiase and spitting in his face. I mean, admittedly, there's a part of my world that would like to have seen that. But that's a whole different conversation. But I think that she plays that so well. If you allow me to get a bit inside baseball, as comfortable as you are doing so, because a match like that is so intricate and it is so laced with callbacks and throwbacks to previous encounters that you've had. How much time did you and Will get one-on-one to actually piece this masterpiece together?
Well, so this is the interesting thing about the Crystal Palace venue, which is where the show was. It's a leisure centre. So you can just go in there to use the leisure centre facilities, but then there's this, you can walk past and just see a wrestling ring and a stage just set up. And normally before shows, if there is some before doors open, there'll be some ring time where the wrestlers can be in there and at least just talk while you're in the ring, or just go over a few things that might be a little bit intricate. But because there's a meet and greet and Ospreay's on the meet and greet, and he probably has the longest queue because this is his last independent, we were very much like, well, there's probably not going to be a time where we can be in there together with no fans looking. So it was just really a thing of just making sure that we were spitballing ideas the day before. We were just throwing ideas to each other the day before. And then we just had to, like, anything ambitious, we just had to cross our fingers and hope that, like, we just have to try it. We just have to just hope that it goes off the way we intend. But that's the thing. Like, there was a couple things that, like, I haven't done before that was in the match. But when you're wrestling, Will, you can have pretty much confidence that it's just going to work. That's the one exception. I'll always say to other wrestlers, like, don't try new things if you haven't tried it before, because it will not work. It'll mess up. It's just going to happen. Matthew will be right on it. But
he will have made a dick like that, isn't he?
Yeah, but when you're in there with Will, it will just work. Because he's an alien. So, that's kind of like how it kind of went, just like throwing ideas all the way up until last night. We're like, okay, all right, I think we've got the key bits.
What's one of those moments there? You said there was a couple in the match where they were sort of fingers crossed and hope for the best moments. Is there one in particular that just before you did it, you threw a bit of a mental Hail Mary crossed yourself?
Okay. Yes. So there's a moment where, like, I'm going for a super Hurricane Rana and he holds on and then lifts me back up. Now, in the last match that we had, he lifts me back up and then I just do a Rana. But this time it was like he was going to kind of give me essentially whilst standing on the second rope, he was going to give me an alley-oop so that I'd fall right onto the buckle. That was like, all right, I'm either going to hit the turnbuckle pad, or I'm going to hit the ring post. So I was prepared for the ring post because I was like, worst case scenario, let me be ready to brace myself for hitting face first on the ring post whilst really, really high. We didn't try that. We didn't. There's no, and really, you can't really try that, even if we had a ring. So that was when I was like, well, here we go. It's got to. And there's also the thing of, like, I can't chicken out of it. I was like, it's got to look good. So let's just go for it. The other moment, which if we go super inside baseball, was I did the Sami Zayn DDT. That was not planned beforehand. The idea was to do a different kind of DDT using like the ring post and something like that. And during the match, we were so sweaty that everything felt like a little bit more like slippery. And there's an element of like, oh God, that's going to need like no slipping, no friction for this thing that we've never done before. So just during it, I was just like, maybe we should change that. And it's, just do this Sami Zayn DDT, which I've also never done before. It's like, screw it, let's go. I like Sami Zayn. I hope I do him proud. And that's arguably one of my favorite parts of the match, honestly, when like I did the DDT and I'm up and firing and the crowd are like starting to rise. I'm up and bloody and he gets bloody. So yeah, those are the two moments.
When I was going to ask, in terms of that and getting into the rhythm of the match, when you're in there, and this is probably more when you've had these marquee matches that you've had many of, when you're in there, are you really aware of the magic that you're making, or is it not until you come back that you realize?
Nowadays I am. Very much as I was coming up, I was having these matches where, like, when I came, like, got back, everybody is saying that it was really good. Then, like, you know, the internet is saying it's very good. That my first example of that was when I wrestled Pac at the Cockpit in 2019. I was like, I hope that was good. I hope that was good. Like, when the match was over, I was like, I hope that was good. Even though people are standing, and there's a standing ovation of the crowd immediately, I'm like, I don't know how that did. Another time was when me and Mills, Destination Everywhere, wrestled Aussie Open in 2021, because I hadn't had that experience of a big tag team match like that. So I was like, I don't know. I'm not that confident with tag team matches. I have no idea how this went. Again, even though there was a standing ovation, even though people were like, whoa. So at this point, singles matches, I'm able to relax. I'm able to really gauge the atmosphere and the feeling of the crowd. I'm really, really listening to them. So there was definitely a moment, it was probably really around that DDT, where I was like, this is okay. This is something special. This is for sure something special. And maybe we have, the big fear was trying to match the last time, you know. It's really hard to do a sequel in any form of entertainment. Like movies, video game, it's so easy for people to say, it wasn't as good as last time. At that moment, I was like, I think we're going to match it. I think we have.
The match itself was woven with callbacks to that first movie that you guys did. And it felt like the crowd were with you through all of it as well. When there's so much intricate detail and little throwbacks to previous things and sort of attention to detail and Easter eggs in there, is there ever a concern that some of that stuff won't land? Or is that just not part of the conversation?
That's a huge fear. That's a huge fear that was for me. It's so difficult to find the balance of like how much you call back to it, because I was already seeing in my head, I was like, you know, if we do too many callbacks, then people will say it is a parody of the last match. So we needed to make sure that we're providing them with something different that at the same time honors the last match with as good as it can be. And I think that we did a good job with like, just sprinkling enough things where like people are like, oh yeah, that's exactly what happened. And then there's so many video packages. Again, so much that we said about the promo to really remind people of specific points that happened in the match, where like, I think everything that we did, people caught on to, like, as in like, it got a reaction of like, oh, that's what happened before. And then on the flip side, it's just a cool spot to people who don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's either just a cool spot, or people like, no, you're dead. This last time this happened. So that was kind of where we tried to find the best balance. I think we did just that.
There's one particular moment, which is, as you say, for many a cool spot and for others so much more. And it was near the end of the match where you hit the Sega Mega Driver, which was, of course, Mad Kurt's move. Now, how important was that part of the match to you? Obviously, we lost Curtis Chapman a short while back, but how important was that part of the match to you and Will?
I've always wanted to pay tribute to him, but I don't want to just always kind of like hit home with it, like, because like, it's tough for so many people. It's very still tough for a lot of fans to cope with, let alone all of his friends and family. But he was one of my closest friends, and it's just such a tough thing to still wrap my head around that he's not here anymore. But I'm trying to remember the time I was like, I've got to do something with this match for him. It'll be easy to do a tribute to him in a random small match, but I want to tribute him in the biggest match that I may ever have, or that I've had to this date and to this point. I was like, I got to do the Sacred Mega Driver. This may be the only time I'll ever do it. In fact, I think as far as I'm not planning to do it again. That's probably the only time I do it. I was like, I'm doing it here, and it's going to help me beat Will Ospreay. That's how I have it in my head. It's like, Curtis is going to help me beat Will Ospreay. And there's like little bits on my gear where like, so that gear was, and the jacket was all new for this match. And the gear was made by one person. The jacket was made by another person. And both of them had the wear with, like, they both put his logo on my gear, like very small, just for me. And I was like, I only got, but like, I got the gear that day. So I didn't know about it until I was actually on. I was like, oh, it's on my knee pad. And his logo of like his Twitter logo is on my knee pad. So, I was like, I had to put the Sacred McGregor again. And like you said, it's just like, especially the way people blew up on Twitter with the move. It's like, if you know, it's like a lovely tribute. And if you don't know, it's the coolest move in wrestling ever that you've never seen before. So it's thank you, Curtis, for creating the coolest move ever.
What would Curtis have made of that moment in the match?
He'll be continuing to say that the reason that I defeated Will Ospreay is because of him. He will make sure to say that. It's like, he'll be like, come on, I taught you that. So there you go. I have defeated Will Ospreay. He'd be saying that all the time.
He'd claim it as his win.
Yeah, oh, for sure. He'd be by proxy that he defeated Will Ospreay. I'll give it to him. And that's the thing. You know what's so annoying? I've never beaten Curtis Chapman. I've wrestled him loads of times, never beaten him. That's the ultimate rig, really.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I want to mention the gear because I wasn't going to talk about the gear, but an incredible look for you to walk to the ring with. What was the inspiration behind it?
So, I am so bad with art. I can't draw like what I'm imagining. I did not do well at art in school, whatever. I could draw stick men very well. But when I'm giving my gear to people or even like ideas for merch designs, what I do is I look at different concepts of things that are already out there. And I'm like, here are all the things that I want it to kind of look like. Please, can you put something together for me? And the lady Cherry Fox, who made my previous jacket, who's incredible at what she does, she was able to sketch it as well. I gave her jackets of like there's like an African garment that like traditional like Nigerian chiefs wear. And I was like, this would be really cool to kind of get the idea. Like what I noticed with those garments was that the shoulders are really broad with it with the clothing. So I knew I wanted something that made my shoulders broader. Then I just saw things that I thought were cool. I saw like kind of Cody Rhodes WrestleMania jacket. I was there in person for that Cody Rhodes match last year. And I was like, I just like how it flows. And it's very royal, regal and majestic. And then like Armor King from Tekken 6 or 7, he had this alternate attire. And I was like, ooh, it was more grungy, but it just, again, it had like a flowing skirt. And I was like, this, I want something from Cody Rhodes, but make sure it can't look too much like Cody Rhodes, because then I'm just Cody Rhodes. And then like then the thing from Armor King, and then his like Nigerian garb of just like the shoulders. And so he was able to sketch something that was just, I was like, that's it. That's fine. It works. It's perfect. That's all I need. And I'm trying to think of how long it took for her to put it together, but she was working up all night, day and night, showing me updates. And I can only say so many nice things about her, about how great it came out, and just how it made me look. It made me look like great, but it's all because of her doing.
So Tekken, Assassin's Creed, Sega Mega mm-hmm. Drive. It's a video game paradise in that match.
I threw a little Metal Gear Solid game over in my entrance.
Of course, Metal Gear Solid in the entrance bit as well. It was so many little bits that are peppered in that match. You can watch it back on RevPro On Demand. I guarantee you, as I have and others have, when you watch it again, you'll see more. It's a testament to the work that you guys have done. RevPro absolutely stole the weekend. And they were up against Les Battersby in Manchester at SoftPro. So it's a tough competition.
Yeah, hey, people were there for Les Battersby.
Hey, do you know what? I've seen clips of that. I thought Les looked great in there. They had some fun in there. There is more to come, but what a bizarre weekend for wrestling. A beautiful, wonderful weekend for wrestling. In one part of the country, you've got Les Battersby and you've got you guys at RevPro. For Will Ospreay, it's his sign-off from the independents, and off to AEW he goes. He said goodbye to the crowd and came back through the curtain. Can you remember what you guys talked about as he came back through the curtain?
So I'm not sure how much I can talk about the being. So I went through the curtain and he was then speaking for like 10 minutes. He was looking for Tony Khan. He disappeared. Tony Khan was talking to me at the time. And so that was like a nice conversation. And then once he came back through the curtain, I'm trying to remember what we had read, or like we both had the feeling that topped the last time, but because that topped last time, I think we had a little hug and started saying five and a quarter.
Yeah.
In my head I was like, all right, let's just play a game of like, what's Dave gonna rate it? And I was like, it's either gonna be 4 3/4 or 5 1/4, because he's either going to be like, it just missed the mark on last time, or it's going to be, it's better than last time, so we'll give it another quarter. That was what was in my head. So because we felt that thing, I just started saying 5 1/4. But having said that, talking about Dave, he has said a lot of things about the match.
Dave is buzzing about your match, mate. Honestly, I've never seen him so animated on Twitter, on the Observer website. I think he talked about it on the radio show. I think 5 1/4 a minimum from Dave Meltzer, I'm going to say.
Crazy. Like him talking about the Danielson and Zack Sabre Jr. match, and he's saying they're two different matches, but he might think that this one was better. And I think he gave that one 5 1/2. I'm like, oh boy. All I know is people are going to be very, very angry at the number which, hey, that's great for me. Let's talk. Let's keep talking.
I know kind of how you'll answer this, and I completely respect that you do, but as much as I love the bones off you, Michael, I have to ask the question. You said you were chatting to Tony Khan. Can you tell us what you were chatting about?
I mean, I can't. No.
I knew you'd say that, but it's part of my gig. I've got to at least push you.
The most I'll just say was that he was very complimentary. He was very complimentary. He was there to watch the whole thing. Like, so apparently he had got there just as the match started. So he saw the whole match and he was super complimentary of the match. He was complimentary of myself and Amira. So, yeah, like that was just, it was very nice to hear that from the owner of AEW.
He seems to be enjoying the whole thing. Like there's shots and he seems to be having a lovely time.
Losing his mind. So much, there were so many Tony Khan chants, and I thought that was great. Cause I was like, let's then address it. Let's address that. Like, let's not ignore that he's there. Let's have Will blow a kiss to him. Let me stare at him when they say that he signed the wrong guy.
Embrace it all. Will's off to AEW, so it's obviously, it was a farewell for him on the indies. What's one of your favorite out of the ring memories that you have from going up and down the road with Will?
Ooh, man. So, I mean, like, we really, for early on, we really only saw each other at shows. However, one thing that sticks out between myself and Will, which is from really early on, is in 2017. So that's the year I started wrestling. I had only had one match. He was there for it. He was there and saw the match because he was just there at the Progress show at the Dome, hanging out. And then that's when he came up to me and said, "You remind me of Donkey from Shrek. Be a great comedy wrestler." And I was like, well, I want to be the champion of the world. But like, that's all he knew me from, is like seeing that one match. And then there was a day where he was filming his documentary, and they needed some trainees to come down so that they could just film him training people, like a little B-roll of him training the next crop. And so I came down to that, and again, only knew me from that one match. And I asked him, I had like a match for a tag team match at a small scout hut in Bermondsey, in South London, and I went to do a promo for it. And I just asked him, "It'd be okay, Will, if like you do like a cameo in my promo?" And he's like, sure, of course. And then we filmed something where he just like did a whole thing. It's probably a horrible promo, but like with reflection. But like, he just did the thing. He popped in. I remember at the time not being able to believe that he just was fine. He'd already been doing a lot of big things at that point in 2017. The fact that he was just cool to like do a cameo and a promo for a promotion in a scout hall in Bermondsey that can only cram in probably sub 100 people was really cool. And then after that training session, he treated us all to Nando's. There's about 5 of us. He treated us all to Nando's. And I said, like, "Listen, when do you want us to me to pay you back?" And he said, "Just pay it forward. Just pay it forward." And that's the one thing I'll always remember of, like, he's just like, help out who you can, be generous, and then pay it forward to somebody else in the future.
And what happens now is that Will steps away, and you continue on as the leader of RevPro, as the undisputed British heavyweight champion. What does RevPro mean to you at this point going forward?
It's I want to say everything. I really do, because as corny as that may sound, but I've been put on such a platform, or I've been given the biggest opportunities to flourish and to show what I can do here at RevPro before anywhere else. And I think it allowed me to then go so many places else. It's all the nucleus of that was through Andy and RevPro and giving me opportunities. And it's not just like, oh, I'm going to just push you and present to you no matter what and force feed you down people's throats. It really, at times, especially early on, felt like a match-by-match basis where I needed to prove myself. And he was putting me in the deep end against, like, worldwide stars. And if I floundered, then he'd find someone else or give someone else opportunity. But the fact that I was able to swim in the deep waters, and it allowed me to get, okay, here's another opportunity. And what's really cool was then I could see me developing. He got trust within me to be able to deliver good matches, deliver like solid promos as well, and going above and beyond, because I saw how much he was willing to give me opportunities. It made me have no problem with trying to help RevPro however I can and put all my all into them. And so seeing what they've done for me, I want to make sure that they're still around to do that same thing for so many other people. And while I'm in RevPro and I'm at the top of it, I want to see how I can hopefully, again, pass that to whoever's next and all the people that are there that I'm able to wrestle of all different abilities and experience. I really want it to be seen, like in the UK scene. I think Will kind of talks about it in a bit in his promo, but it's that thing of it feels like we all have to go to America to really make it, because all of the companies are there. And it's mainly probably because we don't have a TV deal. Like, the UK doesn't have a TV deal. Maybe that's the underlying reason. I would love it if in some blue skies dream, like, the RevPro can get a TV deal so that the whole scene in general can have a place where, like, oh, listen, we can stay where we are and we can all flourish as working full-time independent wrestlers, not just a few of us, but hundreds of us.
That's the dream.
Yeah. Hopefully it's more than just a dream. That's all I can hope for.
For now, you are the head of that dream landscape in Rev Pro as British, undisputed British heavyweight champion. Michael, what's next? You take a beat, you get your energy back, you fight off whatever's going on your funky chest thing. But what's next for you, Michael?
I mean, my most immediate thing is 16 Karat WXW in March. I mean, that's, you talk about one of the biggest things in independent wrestling. It's for sure the biggest tournament in Europe. I've never been part of it. And so it's very exciting that after all the things I've been able to achieve, that there's still new things that I can achieve in European independent wrestling. So being a part of that is going to be really cool. I want to make some headlines in that tournament too. And then, of course, we've got just this whole year of things that could happen. We've only just started. I'm not sure on like what the year could bring, but I've got my sights set on where I could be or what I could be part of. And I'm hopeful that, again, this year couldn't have started any better. So I've laid the foundations and I can just have faith in the fact that I know that I'm going in the right direction.
So what you're saying is now we play.
Well, that's what I'm saying, Tom. I'm saying that.
Where can people follow every step as you make headlines in 2024, sir?
Yes, please follow me at TheOJMO on pretty much every social media platform. So I'll have X. I've been saying Twitter this whole time.
Say Twitter. I wouldn't worry about it.
So on there, on Instagram, I think even on YouTube, you put at the OJMO, but like Michael Oku is, you Google that, you could see a lot of stuff on my YouTube. I'm trying to post a lot of video stuff on YouTube as best I can. I've got Cameo. I started that a few weeks ago.
Nice. Had any weird Cameo requests yet?
I feel bad, but screw it. here's because there are ones that I will not accept. I'm not just going to accept money willy-nilly to do anything. The one that I did feel weird is somebody did ask me to wish their wife a happy Valentine's Day. And I just thought, no. I don't want to do that. It's like, please do it yourself. It's like I can wish kids, I've done like wish kids happy birthdays and then wish other people happy birthdays. If they're like, oh, they're like a big fan of yours, so just wish, that makes sense to me. But your wife, happy Valentine's Day, and saying that she's a great mother, that seems like you need to be saying that.
It feels like a thing that they should say, yeah.
But that's the weirdest one so far. But I feel like that is the tip of the iceberg of how weird it can truly get.
Oh, the best is yet to come for you, sir. The best is yet to come.
You're going to Cameo. You, right?
I'll tell you off air. No, or don't. Actually, to be fair, the ones I've had so far have been fine. Actually, one of my favorites is every year since the pandemic, there is a group of mates that do a Zoom quiz, and I ask a question in their quiz every year.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
I've got recurring custom, which is lovely. So I like that one. One I often get is people saying I've had two that have gone, I've got a job interview and I could really do with some positive energy from you. I said I'm happy to share that with the world. So I like doing stuff like that. And I think someone asked me for advice on writing a CV once. I'm like, I mean, I'd probably look elsewhere, but I could certainly offer you this from my experience. So. It's a wild world out there. Yours and mine have been quite tame compared to what other people may have got. So.
Oh yeah. Let's count our blessings.
Michael, it is. I saw you back in January, and every time I see you, it is always a deep joy. And not only do I get to see you and work with you now, but then I still get to sit and watch like Rev Pro High Stakes and just be enamored with what you do in the ring with guys like Will Ospreay. So honestly, for worth what it's worth for me, a massive congratulations on the weekend, and I am buzzing to see what 2024 does for you and where it takes you, sir.
Thank you very much. And you know what? I'll say the same to you, man. Anytime I'm up there at North Wrestling, it's genuinely nice to see you. Like, so, like, thank you. That's, and I mean that. So, yeah, right back at you, Tom.
You little tinker. What did Tony say to you? No,
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.